everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And online, every Wednesday evening. Okay. Well, on the radio every Wednesday morning.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second.
If you're tuning in now on the radio, we should be on at around 11.
11:30?
Yes.
Okay.
Well done.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Megan.
I'm Alice.
And on this particular show, we talk about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Because we like video games.
Most, yes.
Allegedly.
Sure. Yeah.
I like
a lot of things.
Video games like being one of them.
I was like, video games, sure. No, yeah.
We talk about video games.
Yes.
And we collect video games.
All, yes.
And sometimes video games make us very sad.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true. And it happens. And then we move on to the next video game that doesn't make us sad.
Are you foreshadowing?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Not this time.
I was like,
foreshadowing.
I think you're foreshadowing. Yeah. So, well, first of all, what game did you play? Because we'll see what you played first.
So we.
Wait, you played a game that you liked. Okay. I'm gonna no, I just remembered. I just remembered what game you played, and I was like, oh, Megan, okay, so we're gonna do the reverse compliment sandwich.
Where it's bad, good, bad?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try to end on a good note, but yeah, this, because I played and I'm in the process of playing a bad game.
After this episode, you realize we do have good games for you to play.
No. It's untrue. Well, I'm going to play Overwatch, but yes. But that's because I'm going to get the new hamster. Anyway, so like let's start with the one that I'm done with. So I played Yooka-Laylee. Yeah. I did play it. I played 16 hours of Yooka-Laylee, and
that's a lot of time to spend on Yooka-Laylee.
Yeah, and I couldn't beat the last boss. So for those of you who don't know, Yooka-Laylee is it's sort of a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie. As in it has people who worked on Banjo-Kazooie working on Yooka-Laylee, same music guy, Grant Kirkhope. Who did all the music for Banjo-Kazooie. He did all the music for Yooka-Laylee. And I would say the music is pretty okay. Okay, here are the things that are good about this game. Visually, it's great. It's pretty great looking. Most of the environments are kind of fun to look at. The music is pretty okay. I honestly want to let you know I had most of it turned down for most of it because this was a game that I didn't necessarily enjoy. And playing some kind of game like this, it once again, it makes me think, like, was I wrong about Banjo-Kazooie being fun?
I don't think so. Well, yeah. We have the goggles of youth on
yeah,
that game,
but
so
I
we
feel
will
like,
play it again.
I feel I've played Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie within the last 5 years, and I still enjoyed my time with them. This and there are things about like both of those games that say I could maybe because they're older,
yeah.
I can let things slide. Yooka-Laylee is so Yooka is the lizard. I think they're a chameleon. I don't know. And Laylee is the bat, which is, you know, Banjo was the bear, because I was like, Laylee is the bird. No, Kazooie is the bird. So obviously, you know, it has that sort of similar aspect.
They're very cute designs.
I like the designs. I don't hate them. I honestly think they would have benefited by giving one of them like a little, like a scarf or like shoes. I think that was a strong part of Banjo's design was just giving him pants and a backpack. Like, that differentiates him from being just a cartoon bear. Laylee is just a cartoon lizard. Yooka is, like, I don't necessarily see their designs as anything amazing. They're fine. They're decent cartoony characters, and they fit within the world to an extent. Now, like, to get into the story, I want to say that I didn't read most of the dialogue because I found it very boring and slow, and it's just a bunch of, like, kind of quirky jokes that I don't care about. Or
what is the central conflict?
The bad guy's name is Capital B, and he has taken the pages from this book. That's a good book or something. The Bible.
The good book.
No, he's taking and he's taking all the words. It's something to do with capitalism, right? His name is Capital B. It's like, I get it, but there's just sort of things about it that I feel are just not conveyed very well. It feels a little bit like a mishmash of, like, ideas and characters and stuff that was loosely thrown to make a story. Banjo-Kazooie, like, for all intents, like, it's Banjo-Kazooie and it's a cartoon bear and bird. But the conflict or, like, the impetus for Banjo to go do stuff was that his sister was missing, or his sister was captured by Grundy. And that would make a lot of sense that you would have to go through these worlds to unlock things to find your sister. This is like, I have to find pages to unlock a door to fight a boss. And I'm not sure why. Like, I assume because capitalism is overrunning the world and it's bad, right? But it's just sort of like loosely explained. There's a casino level where you have to get tokens and that's how you get pages. And that was kind of neat. Pages are basically the equivalent of Jiggies from Banjo-Kazooie. So right. They were the puzzle pieces in Banjo-Kazooie.
Or the bananas from Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah, well, certain bananas, I forget. It is a collect-a-thon. It is a platformer. I think it's one of those games where it does expect me to experiment and do things, but at the same time, it doesn't telegraph what it wants me to do. So there were certain instances where I have to, like, lizard lick up certain powers, and it doesn't really explain to you ever that this is sort of a thing you can do or what you can do it with, unless you go into the moves list, which is just a picture of you doing the move and then the buttons that you do the move with. And it doesn't tell me the title of the move either.
What the effect is supposed to be?
No. It has the visual. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess for accessibility, but at the same time, I do want some sort of, like, explanation of what it is. And I can't go back to, like, explain, you know, learn how right. to do that. So there was a lot where I was very confused. I think the other thing is that it has a case of there's too many moves. Basically, every button on my controller is a different thing. Plus, then you hold down another button and then you press another button and there are a bunch of different things. And it gets confusing whether the power that you're doing is like a high jump or you're trying to fly or you're trying to do the rolly, you have a shield, or you're trying to turn invisible. I just never remembered which one I do. And though all of those things take up, like, power, like you have your life, which is butterflies, and then you have, like, a power source, or, you know,
a stamina bar.
It's kind of like a stamina. It's like a magic, like your mana, right? It's literally your mana. It comes back over time. But the one thing that I found very annoying is that the refill, like, to how to refill it otherwise, like, if you don't want to wait, is butterflies. And butterflies, either you eat them and they heal you, or you touch them and they refill your mana, stamina.
They don't do both at the same...
No. Oh, so which is really annoying. And if I'm... I'm hurt or something, and I'm like, oh, butterflies, I might be stupid and just jump at them.
Right.
Rather than lick them up. Or if I needed more energy, I might just lick them up instead of touching them, which I found was, like, not very good. Like, that's just... it's a smooth-running game, but I just don't find it... It wasn't that fun. It was tedious. I didn't find, like, it necessarily challenging. And at one point, once again, you get a flying power that lets you fly everywhere. And it makes, like, certain things absolutely irrelevant, like certain levels or certain, like, challenges, which is kind of funny. There are bosses in each world. They're extremely frustrating. And then, obviously, the final boss, which I was telling you, I didn't beat it. I gave up on this game. I got my 100 pages to open the door to go beat the final boss. And I just didn't. It's just tedious. There's not a lot of skill to it. It's just sort of like an amount of, like, once again, it has to do a little bit with the amount of pressing different buttons every single time and trying to... I found certain things were unfair. Now, granted, this is a Kickstarter game. I don't want to say it had troubled development, but I do believe it didn't come out as polished as they maybe wanted it to. Because I feel that there is, like, a drop off. Even after the first level, I kind of was like, I don't know about this. I'm not having fun. Like,
level one was good, and it just kind
of... It wasn't even good. It was fine. It was all right. Like, I wasn't wowed. The NPCs or the characters, I don't necessarily find them that fun or creative. Like, not to say that... the mole wasn't bad, but, like, there's a sign. Like, that's one of the characters. His name is, like, Planker.
Oh.
And then there's, like, a whole series where there are a bunch of, like, their shopping carts. I just didn't really appreciate or understand the designs. And it does feel a little bit like there wasn't a lot of cohesiveness. And I'm not going to say that Banjo-Kazooie had that. But there was a little bit more with, like, when I went into the swamp, there was a giant crocodile, and then there's a little crocodile, or there's a turtle, right? Like, there's...
When other I go, animal characters.
Well, things that feel to fit in with this world.
Yeah.
I don't know if I enjoyed it. I tried to beat the boss several times. I tried legitimately for maybe an hour, and I was like, well... I did done try. I don't care to go find more butterfly things to, like, up my health. I will watch how this pans out on YouTube because I don't care.
It's not a good sign if you get to the final boss and you're just like, I just don't want to anymore.
I don't care about the story enough to find out. I've heard that the platform, there's a 2D platformer. Ukulele and the Impossible Lair or something. I've heard that that's pretty good, but I don't care.
I'll check that one out because I'm good at 2D.
Like, I just, at this point, and it's a little too bad because I was hoping Ukulele would be decent and enjoyable, but I didn't enjoy it. The end. That's my Debbie Downer. Oh, don't worry, there's one more coming.
But we'll talk about a... good better game. You really like this game that I
it's
played.
It's a good game.
It is a good game.
It's not a bad game. It's joy. It has fun gameplay. It makes you want to play it.
Anyway, I picked up Nier Automata and gave it a proper try this time.
Yes.
It is developed by Platinum Games and published by Square Enix. And it's a sequel to 2010's Nier.
Yoko Taro, the boy.
And it is an incredibly fun game. Now that I finally have the time...
See, it's fun.
I finally had the time and the energy to commit to playing. It's about androids who are fighting a war against robots. They are doing a proxy war because they're fighting for the humans.
Mm-hmm.
Who are giving them orders from the moon.
Yeah. I was like, I've played this before, yeah. And I think I've talked about it. And once again, I think it's genuinely really good. Sad thing about Yoko Taro is he thinks that Nier Automata was kind of a fluke, that people won't like his other games. And granted, like, they are, I feel they're niche. Like, you have to be a sort of person to enjoy them, especially the, like, Drakengards. Because those are a little wacky. Now, obviously, well, not obviously, but if you didn't know, Drakengard is actually, that's how Nier started. It starts from one of the endings of Drakengard, the first Drakengard. And that's where Nier comes from.
And it was a joke ending, too, was it not?
I don't know if it was a joke ending. It was into canon ending. It was definitely, like, a special ending. Like, it wasn't one that people got, and it wasn't, at the time, considered a canon ending. Because in that ending, you and your dragon get teleported to modern-day Tokyo and then fight with a giant... white, like she's a giant god, and both things get killed by the Japanese army, and that those things lead to Nier, which is, I think, supremely interesting. Bizarre, but interesting.
It is a bizarre game. It has some very strange things in it, but
yeah.
But I
think it's quirky. Like,
quirky's a good word for it.
Like, out of, yeah, like, it, you know, but it's not like, it's not the bad quirky. It's not, it's just sort of like, that is what it is. This is sort of how it's written. This is how Yoko Taro writes characters.
It's a cool world that he made. I will say that, because you go out and you and your partner 9S.
9S, yeah.
Sorry, you are 2B with your partner 9S. Android names. And you end up interacting with this world that not a whole lot of the other androids experience. You meet with a resistance camp full of self-named androids. They're not humans. They do specifically say that.
There's no humans in Nier Automata. There's no humans.
That you interact with.
No, but there's no humans in Nier Automata. Like, there aren't any. That you interact with, for sure. Yeah. Like, they're, like... This is a game, well, obviously the humanoid character. The androids are meant to look like humans. Actually, Nier Automata is originally based off of a stage play. I don't believe it's by the same name. I think it's actually called, it's called something about the Yorha units. But yeah, it's based off of a stage play, and actually it's interesting because the stage play actually gives away the whole plot of Nier Automata.
That's amazing that that's actually canon, too.
Yeah, well, it's a stage. It's, once again, Nier comes, Automata comes in a lot of different forms. But yeah, like, once again, we've talked about it before, and it is a very good game.
And I like how the robots aren't just enemies. You do end up interacting with a bunch that have their own personalities and start surviving and thriving in this world without humans, making up their own societies. I think the amusement park is my favorite area.
Well, humans haven't been on the Earth for like 2,000 years. Like, that is, everybody has had time to evolve without humanity. But yeah, like, it's, yeah. And I'm excited to play the remaster of Nier, regular flavored Nier, because, yeah, it looks very similar in gameplay. Like, it looks... Basically, instead of the little guns you have the book, which is neat. But, yeah, I'm excited for that
If it's like this, I'm also excited.
Yeah, yeah.
So, definitely still recommend Nier Automata. It's a couple years old now.
Yeah.
But it's still definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's what, 2016? 2000? I don't know.
We picked it up when it was brand new, so it's got to be around 17 or 18.
I did not pick it up when it was brand new. I can let you know that for free. Yeah.
But I played a good game, and you ended up just tormenting yourself with bad games this past week.
I don't choose these things. They come to me.
That sounds so ominous.
Well, it's true. Okay, this was like, and I appreciate this, and I like playing games with people. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do. A friend invited me to play Dead Space 3, which is known for being the worst Dead Space. Like, undoubtedly. Like, it's easy. Now, granted, this is also when EA took over Visceral Games, which, and then killed it. And EA just injected every... Like, you could get microtransactions for Dead Space 3. Like, I could buy guns in Dead Space 3. Yeah, no, it's very... I don't think it's...
I don't like that.
Well, it's it's not a good idea, first of all, because it's like, okay, for those of you who don't know, Dead Space is a sort of a survival horror space game, with a heavy emphasis on like horror and eeriness, and they do a very good job of it. In the first two games, the second game is like, it is known for being one of the best survival horrors. It is genuinely terrifying, but it's also like as action survival, like there's shooting and stuff. The third one is really not, it's a shooter, to an extent. There is less of an emphasis on the horror. Obviously, I will get jump scared because that's my life, and it doesn't matter what it is. If it's a scary thing or if it's like a cute blob, it will scare me because that's what it's designed to do. So I will scream regardless, but it's not like I am in an eerie environment. Like, this basically takes place after Dead Space 2, obviously.
Right.
Where you are with Isaac, and I forget his name. Carver, I think his last name is the other character. That's the other playable character, the teammate who I get to play. In the previous Dead Spaces, basically what happens is colonies or whatever, they are infected by this thing called the Marker, and there's these things, I think they're called like necromorphs, and basically they are just monsters that come from dead people, and there's a bunch, the Marker is like an alien thing,
right?
So it's like alien technology, that is how they go about that. So Isaac has a connection to the Marker, which is why he is, and I think that happens as a result of the first game, which is why he's brought into the third game, because at the end of the second game, you sort of like, oh, it's over now, like, but
it's, everything's fine.
A little bit was, this game does feel very unnecessary. It feels like it was one of those things that they had to do because it was a franchise, and why not make it bigger and better, quote unquote. Also at this time, like, multiplayer co-op was all the rage. Like,
right.
You had to have that, or you had to have something like that. Resident Evil 6 came out around this. It was a two-player game. And I think, like, and not to say that horror games can't be scary with people, because I think they absolutely can. But I think, like, with those two in particular, there's an emphasis on action versus horror,
right.
Which, like, is fine, but obviously Resident Evil and Dead Space are, I think, first and foremost horror series rather than action series kind of thing.
When you start changing the flavor too much, it kind of detracts a little bit.
So, like, at this point, it's just Dead Space, it's a shooter game that I'm playing with a friend in space. It's not necessarily the most interesting. I know how it goes. I've watched several playthroughs of this game because I like Dead Space enough to, like, suffer through knowing what happened with this one. And it's fine. I wish the other games were multiplayer, then I could play them together because they're better games. But that's not a thing. And it would just fundamentally break the games and how they're made. But, yeah.
We can make our friend play the other two.
Yeah, that's what I was probably, like, there's still scary things about this. I think the designs of the necromorphs are still cool. I don't like the UI. I don't like that there's a huge focus on gun building, because I just feel like, for me in any video game, like, once I find something that works fairly decently, I will just upgrade that to the end, so I don't need to make it, I don't need anything else. And as long as I have a ridiculous amount of bullets, I'm fine, which I do in this game. Like,
yeah.
I have...
The guns remind me of the gummy ship from Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, that's apt, and that's not a good thing, because that's one of the worst parts of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't check out the other Dead Spaces. Yeah.
And check out Nier Automata.
I agree. Yes.
That's everything we have for you for this week. I think I'm going to leave with the carnival song from Nier Automata, because it is very catchy.
There you go.
All right, everybody, have a good week. Keep changing.
Bye.
Trovata noi. Trofata noi, dun yo.